Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Butcher's Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans, in this July 25th episode where a heat wave is going on outside and I have to turn my air off to do this podcast. Thank you for your service, Ryan. You could support this podcast for as low as a price of a cup of coffee or a beer. Patreon.com/Butcher's Breakaway. You get access to BSBOT, Discord, and more. It's how we keep doing this podcast every single week for the last 330 fucking million weeks or something. All right, cool. Without further ado, let's get to the show. What are we talking about today? It's summer. There's a lot of WWE news. There's baseball. Tim Gettinger signed. That's huge. It's huge. Okay. And we have Connor Rogers from the Mets pod here. He's also an SNY person, so we'll be hanging out with him. All right. Transition.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bushwick Breaker fans, welcome to the week of the Bushwick Breakdown. I am your host, Ryan Mead. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Greg, how are you? Say hello. That's what
Oh, man. Kevin Kiermaier's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, so is Mike Zunino. I mean, with lots to talk about. I mean, the Rangers made some huge moves in the last week. Triple H is head of creative for WWE. Aaron Judge is on fire. Where do you want to start?
Oh, Aaron Judge is on fire. I am still rooting for the scenario in which the Yankees go so hard for Juan Soto, can't get him, but the process pisses off Aaron Judge, so he leaves too and becomes a New York Met. I am 1,000% there.
Don't think it's out of play. I think it's realistic, as crazy as
well,
it
now,
is.
I also think that, listen, do you want to know why it's not out of play? One of the two New York teams has money, and it ain't the one in the Bronx.
I saw a theory the other day. It was like, well, actually, Steve Cohen's money is tied up in this, this, and this. And I was like,
okay.
Billions. billions. He's worth more than, like, half the league combined.
Yeah. I also love the theory that's been going around now that the Nationals have to trade Soto now because they're selling the team and the new owners don't want to be the guys that's traded Soto. So they have to trade him before the new guys come in, which I just think is great. That's wonderful. I love that the Angels are now dangling Ohtani for major league pieces that can help them win now. Gentlemen, you have Ohtani and Mike Trout, and you can't win now. Why do you think trading Ohtani for other pieces will, quote-unquote, help you be more competitive?
It's just an MVP.
You failed already.
Just an MVP candidate. You know, let's just get rid of him. That's a good idea.
Oh, God, I love baseball this time of year because nothing else in the world, literally nothing else in the world is happening, right?
Well, Tim Gettinger signed a huge contract for the New York Rangers. I mean, he's 6'6". Yeah.
My bad. Yeah. He's a... To quote the great Brock Lesnar, which I will now do all the time whenever I see Daniel Vogelbach, the man, the myth, the legend on my TV, big boy! That's what I have to say about Tim Gettinger.
Vogelbach, we'll get to in a few minutes because, wow. How? What?
Revelation. Everybody was like, oh my God, I can't. This is really the Mets. This is a Wilpon Mets move. we're going to bring in this guy who doesn't even help. And I'm like, this is the most entertaining man in baseball, and you don't want him on your team?
It is kind of like Bartolo reincarnated. But
he's beauty and he's grace, Ryan.
Oh, man. That, I don't know why Beauty and Grace reminds me of Game of Thrones, which, by the way...
No, I'm not. I don't understand that trailer. Someone,
what are we
listen,
doing?
I understand that it's in the medieval times when there were dragons, but I don't understand where we are.
Right yeah, now. What are we doing? It's a prequel? I can't name something in pop culture that everybody cared about so much for so long that you and I, on a Rangers podcast that also talks about the Mets, gambling, and horse racing, and other things among that, had to do a section at the end of the podcast for years where we would do a Game of Thrones 20 minutes to not getting a literal fuck about it. I don't care.
It looks good. I understand.
I'm sure. Great production. Great.
I'm not the books guy, so I don't know where in the before times we are with this. I'm also just not a huge believer in prequels. Like, if this story was so interesting to tell before the story you told, you would have told it. Right?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of where I am. This is why I, you know what movies I hate that I think are the worst movies in human history?
Star Wars prequels.
All of the Hobbit prequels.
Yeah.
The fuck is that? Are we doing?
And The Hobbit is a good book. Solid book. But the movies?
It's fine.
You didn't need three. Did not need those.
No, but again, like, gun to your head, what's the most interesting story to tell here? Oh, it's Fellowship, Two Towers, and Return of the King. Those are the ones you want to tell. I understand it made a lot of money, and then all of a sudden you get to go, well, The Hobbit's kind of interesting, too. If The Hobbit was interesting, you would have made the movie first.
Also,
it's that simple.
The Hobbit should have been one movie, and that's it.
Wasn't it like it was seven or something?
No, it was
right?
Three, I believe. But
it felt like seven.
It could have been. Anywho, yeah. Vince McMahon retired. Where do we stand?
And a lot of air quotes on that one, Ryan. Okay.
Definitely wasn't forced whatsoever.
People are ripping their hair out being like, talk about the Rangers. All
yeah,
right,
sure.
So let's quickly talk about the Rangers.
Ryan Reeves Apple is in Taco. A boot on Instagram. So there you go.
Cool. Don't know what that's about. Doesn't mean the injury happened in the playoffs. He could have done something on a jet ski after the season ended. So that's fun speculation. Don't know what happened there. Mm-hmm. Kaapo Kakko, hockey stat miner, dug up some stats because, you know, hockey stat miner.
Is it funny?
Digging.
That's
what he does.
I saw a tweet today that was like, talk about the most irrelevant stat you know. And then immediately after that was hockey stat miner's stat about, what was the exact one?
Six of nine former top five picks hadn't signed their bridge deal until September.
Wow.
Or something like that.
Yeah, here it is.
And two of them that did are Alex Galchenyuk and someone else that, for lack of a better term, was pee-pee-poo-poo.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess apparently Kakko is just not going to sign his contract for another 6 weeks. Cool, great. That gives us plenty to speculate about.
Well, it's not like Kadri signed anything.
Let's see. What else? Tyler Mott, still a free agent. Don't know what's happening there.
Looking up.
Matthew
now,
Kachuk.
Now, why did he do that? Yes, Matthew Kachuk.
Matthew Kachuk, not a fit for the New York Islanders, I'm told.
Well, listen, the Kachuk thing is interesting because it's the first sign trade I believe in NHL history, period.
Well, the Kachuk thing is interesting because that's what happens when you schedule a story to post and you don't realize that maybe it's too late.
Oh, yeah. Well, New York Post. But we do love Molly. There you go. And
Molly's the best. And Larry, listen, Larry's
the click king.
Gumption, he's the click king. The guy, when he says nothing, it makes me want to read. It's fine.
His article from over the weekend, and I clicked it. He posted it, and I think I clicked it 14 seconds after he posted it. It was like, Kaapo Kakko has yet to receive an offer sheet. Is that actually good for the Rangers?
Kaapo Kakko's, it wasn't good for the Rangers. Is Kaapo Kakko has to receive an offer sheet? Is that actually bad for the Rangers?
Yes, it's actually
because
bad.
Because it signals that no team actually likes him.
Oh, Chris,
and it's like, this is amazing. Dude, I love every second of this.
That's an angle I would have never taken. Only Larry could take that angle.
Anyway, the Kachuk trade. I got to say, the Flames did well, right? First things first. I understand Uyghur and Huberdeau are two guys that the Flames now need to convince to stay, and maybe they won't be able to do that, and maybe they're just shipping them off for even more assets at the trade deadline. But you know what? That's a worry for a couple months from now. Again, Huberdeau's value today will not change between now and the deadline. So whatever you can get for him today, you're just going to be able to get that in a couple months. So why not give it a go? It takes Elias Lindholm away from me again, which stinks.
Quickly explain, because for people that weren't on BSBOT last week, We talked about how. Go ahead. Do your thing.
We talked on OT about how, you know, if the Flames were tearing it down, the one guy the Rangers might be able to fit in, a guy that we know they've liked in the past, though, is previous management, and a guy who would really fit this win now window because he has 2 years and less than $5 million per year left on his deal was Elias Lindholm. But that, again, is a question you only have if the Flames are tearing it down. And it gets into the conversation of, well, did the Rangers shoot their load too early by signing Trocheck? Should they have tried to wait this market out if they knew that Goudreau and Tkachuk were going to leave? But at the same time, you know, you have to understand the Flames' thinking. The Flames didn't want to lose Goudreau. They didn't want to trade Tkachuk. They have all these pieces that they like under contract. They want to remain competitive. And you have to give the Flames credit for getting two impact players in return for Tkachuk on top of draft picks. Like, they did really well here. Huberdeau scored more points than Tkachuk last year. I understand that Huberdeau is going to be playing with different line mates, and Tkachuk is going to be playing with, you know, he's still an elite talent and all that. But if you're going to trade a guy that you can't keep, you did really well. And it sucks as a Ranger fan, because now it takes another hypothetical off the board. A hypothetical, by the way, that I'm sure Chris Drury had previously asked about and understood wasn't going to happen, at least not right now. But you do have to give Calgary credit. They're still going for it. They lost two really good players. They brought in two really good players. Are they as good as they were at this time last year? No. But they don't have to be, right?
No.
They still have Markstrom. They still have a strong roster. That's still a playoff team. And we know that if you get a hot goalie, it makes up for a lot in the playoffs.
If you could sign either of those guys to deals, like, not so bad. Like, there's
specifically Huberdeau, right? Yeah. That's the Mackenzie Weegar is a nice player. And I know the chart community that we sometimes like to claim that we are a part of, but most times we are just kind of passengers and have chart boys.
Blue
come
bar
on
good,
podcast
red, red bar
them.
Bad. That's how far
right.
I go. Yes.
Weegar, big blue bar good guy.
Yes.
The bars like him. He is enjoyable in that sector of the world.
He's a bar guy.
But really, if the Flames weren't going to be able to sign Huberdeau as a free agent, right? Because if he really didn't want to come to Calgary, it's not like you're going to be able to make that sales pitch to him in July. But you at least are buying yourself time to do the sales pitch. He's going to a team that's still trying to be competitive. It's a team that gives a shit. It's a team that's going to keep adding, which is great. But the Ranger perspective of this, Tkachuk was never happening. We knew that. The price was too high. Lindholm was our pie in the sky. Well, this guy's available guy. But same thing applies there, right? Like, the Rangers will have more cap space at the deadline than they do today. And if they want Lindholm, then they can go get him then, if the Flames make that decision. He's one of the few guys that fits the mold of what the Rangers want to do on the ice and fits the mold of the timeline in which the Rangers have to do it. So it's over for now, which is a bummer, because it's one less thing that we're going to get to talk about on this year radio program that is also a podcast, or I should say mainly a podcast.
Yeah,
but never
on the not
radio.
Really ever live on radio. I think
no.
I think you've done
no.
a radio spot or two. I've done like three, and that's about it.
Yep, that checks out. We're very, very, very important people, as people understand. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's hard sometimes to realize that on July 25th, like, the Rangers have no moves left. But, like, the Rangers have no moves left. This is it.
Yeah, it is kind of like, hey, when's someone actually tweeted me this week, like, Hens, when's camp? I was like, sometime early September, I think.
They're not even playing. I saw someone in our Discord posted the Traverse City tournament this year, and the Rangers aren't doing that. So it's like, won't even have prospect games to overreact to.
It's gonna
we
be
just
a,
have this.
It's going to be a weird August. I'll put it. Yeah, there's nothing really. It's Kapokako's contract that gets signed maybe not even in August. I can't even. I can't.
The only and we should make it clear, the only scenario in which the Rangers get Mott is if somehow Reeves moves on, which I don't think the Rangers are going to move on from Reeves. I just don't.
I could see it, as we've talked about, but we're not going to get too deep in the woods because it's not entertaining at all. I think they could move Reeves. I think maybe he's a little
injured. Just because they don't play him, I don't think that means they're – I think they view – again, we've said this before. I truly think they view Reeves as like an extension of the coaching staff.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, not only is he an extension of the coaching staff, he's like a mentor to a lot of the guys who are younger there. I mean, not that Kreider, you know, isn't a mentor
as well. He makes the room feel better about itself with his presence.
Yeah.
And I think Drury does put a lot of stock into that. I really – like, Ryan Strome was a popular guy in the locker room. No one's saying that. But at least you make the argument with Strome where it was a years and dollars decision, right?
Yep.
But with Reeves, it's like – it's not really – like, we're talking about Ryan Reeves preventing the New York Rangers from signing Tyler Mott, which, yes, you and I would both sit here and say the New York Rangers would be a better hockey team if they had Tyler Mott. But at least that is like a move on the margins, right? The difference between the Rangers with and without Tyler Mott is what? 4 points in the standings, if that?
If that. And it's really, you want Tyler Mott for the playoffs. If you could just Tampa Bay Lightning this and just pick Tyler Mott up for the playoff run, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Maybe Drury is actually working the phones trying to get someone to sign Mott for 1 year at $1.5 million so he could just trade for him at the deadline again.
Wouldn't be the worst idea. And maybe he thinks Ryan Carpenter is Mott. He's not. Well, maybe he thinks he is. He's certainly
I don't know. You can't expect Mott to take the Carpenter contract, right? Like, Mott wasn't going to settle for $750,000.
But this is what I don't understand. There's all these free agents out there that are still demanding. You know, Klingberg and wanted being one, Kadri another, unless Kadri had secretly signed with the Islanders already, of which he has not. It's...
Our boy Phil Kessel, by the way, still sitting out there.
It's just there's a decent amount of NHL caliber players sitting out in the market asking for millions of dollars. There's not a lot of cap space outside of, like, what? Like, Jersey has some?
Well, okay. Jersey, we're past the point of, huh, with Jesper Bratt, right? Like, it's weird at this point. I'm not saying anything's going to happen there. Listen, we would have known about an offer sheet by now if one existed, right? So no one else is stepping up to drop the bag for Jesper Bratt.
Well,
at the same time,
last year, what was it? It was middle of August that the offer sheet happened with Montreal and Carolina.
So, yeah, but it was also middle of August where, like, the off season started.
That's fair.
Entire timeline was fucked up last year.
Right, you're right. Okay, good point.
So I don't think someone is waiting to drop the bag on Bratt, but at least it's interesting that the Devils can't get him to sign a long term deal, or that there's enough of a negotiation going on right now that. It makes me go, that's interesting.
Or is it just like, hey, guys, hockey doesn't really happen in July. Everybody take your vacation and let's meet up here.
It's totally possible. It's totally possible that every decision maker is in a cottage. And we are sitting here trying to make something out of absolutely nothing. And it's just, again, this league, you can't rule out that nothing is firmly on the table and everyone just left.
Like, hey, I got to go to Europe for 2 weeks. Or, hey, I'm in South America on a beach. No big deal. I'll be back August. Let's talk then. We'll talk contract then.
So Twitter was quick to point out that Woj dropped the latest Kevin Durant rumor at 2:30 in the morning. 2:30 in the morning. That's when he sent out the first tweet saying the Celtics have made a competitive offer for Durant and the Nets have countered. 2:30. 2:30 a.m. He didn't wait for people to wake up. He's like, fuck this. I have the information. I'm running with it now.
I wasn't awake.
NHL insiders wait for the teams to break the news.
It's insane. I wasn't up for the Tkachuk trade, but I think only, what was Frank was the only one awake, I think.
But it wasn't even like awake. It was a Friday night.
Yep. Yeah, it's like everyone's out. That was it. Well, then also the Laine news happened. It's like Patrick Laine, extension, Columbus Blue Jackets, 4 years.
But also, here, perfect encapsulation of NHL insiders. We found out 4 days later that it was a sign-in trade. Like, how is... And people were just, it wasn't even confirmed. People were just speculating. They're like, oh, it is an 8-year deal. Well, in order for it to be an 8-year deal, I guess he would have had to sign before he got. Look at that. It's a sign and trade. How about that? Huh? And I'm just like, what? What are you? What? Come on.
What a league. Huberdeau apparently also wasn't told he was getting traded. Fun times. This league, the drama. Finally.
Do you have a problem with that?
No, dude.
I'm not sure I do.
I don't, and here's why. I would have a problem with it if this league didn't give out a million no-move contracts. They give out a million. The Rangers, how many players on the Rangers have no-move contracts? Nine? Nine players?
Well,
something like that?
I think there's seven highest-paid players, with the exception of maybe Fox, all have no-move contracts.
Barclay's got one, right?
But he has no trade.
I think Fox has one as well, doesn't he?
I'm not sure. You know, I love how we try to do this from memory, and it's not like there's a website.
Is there a website where we could check this?
By the way, I do have to say, as much as you and I love Cap Friendly, and we do, we speak its praises all the time.
It has been a little bit off with the
Rangers. I see one more person. Well, it's not just a little off. It has the Rangers at $4.8 million in cap space, but also has the Rangers with five defensemen, Vitali Kravtsov in the minors. Like, it's just factually incorrect with the New York Rangers. Artemi Panarin, Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider, Vincent Trocheck all have no move clauses. Yep. Modified no trade for Barclay Goodrow. Fox has no clauses on his contract. Jacob Trouba and Yaroslav Halak both have no move clauses. And that's it.
Okay. Still, that's a lot.
I guess you don't have to give Adam Fox a no move clause because one, you're not trading him, and two, he forced his way onto your team.
Yes.
So like you're good, right?
Yeah, no need. I get that. But
guys, if no more citing $4.8 million in cap space, five defensemen Cap Friendly has. We know the Rangers are going to carry seven, so that's about $1.8 million. And then you have the $800,000 Vitali Kravtsov is owed because it also only shows 11 healthy forwards on top of Sammy.
That extra skater will be Libor Hayek, period.
Yeah, they have $2.2 million in cap space. Stop quoting the 4.8.
Wyshynski had Libor Hayek in the Tkachuk deal. That's unbelievable. Libor Hayek.
I didn't read. I haven't. Also,
you're good for you. You're good for.
I got a big chuckle out of ESPN dropping. Oh, here are your final off-season grades for your NHL teams, and I'm like, Nazem Kadri is literally sitting at a dinner table.
Yeah,
he hasn't signed with anybody.
Speaking of sitting at a dinner table, so is Lou Lamoriello. He's spotted at a table.
If you do an NHL trade column and you're giving out a couple incompletes, that usually means it's too early to do the recap column. Maybe you should wait a little longer.
Kadri is either an Islander or back in the Colorado Avalanche, correct?
I have no fucking idea. I wish I knew, Ryan. I wish one single rumor existed about this.
There's no rumors at all.
It's not even open speculation. Like people in the know are like, well, the Islanders make a lot of sense and they haven't done anything, so they pair the two together. But like the Stars could make sense. I don't know why the Stars couldn't possibly make sense. The Senators have done a lot of interesting things. Why can't you go to Ottawa? The Ducks still need to spend money just to hit the floor. And they signed Strome, so it's clear that they have long-term visions. Ryan, I don't fucking know. I have no fucking idea.
I love the NHL.
Because there isn't a single rumor out there.
Meanwhile, NBA Summer League, drawing like NBA Finals, NHL Final type numbers. Not actually, but ridiculous.
It's
like
tough.
Full storylines. Full storylines. Scott Wheeler's of our former employers, top 50 NHL prospects dropped today. Only Ranger on the top 50.
Philly's beat writer, by the way, of that company having a really hard 2 days there on the. It's a stupid question.
I did not see what happened with the Philly beat writer.
The Athletic Philly's beat writer came hard to the defense of Jim Salisbury and for some reason flamed the sports anchor who released the video of the Nick Castellanos exchange.
Okay.
And he's just like quadrupled down on it, basically calling her like a fucking fake reporter, saying she doesn't cover the team, she's never at the ballpark, really going hard at her for no reason. And again, not even his fucking question. It's a bad fucking question. Did you hear the boos? No, I didn't. I went deaf. Yeah, I'd say the same shit because it's a stupid fucking question.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Castellanos has been bad this year, but I'm not going to blame him for saying that at all.
But he's right. Like, ask a more pointed question. Like, are the boos having an impact on your play? What do you have to say to fans unhappy with your play? Do you think the boos you're receiving are directed to you individually or you guys collectively? Like, you can ask better questions
and
make him answer the question.
You did ask
him if he heard the boos?
Hey, did you hear the boos?
Did you hear the boos? Yes. What's your follow-up question, you shithead? Like, where do you go from there? Are you a fucking idiot?
Crazy, man. Crazy. Anyway, back to the Scott Wheeler, who I really like and respect, had top 50 out there for NHL prospects. I believe number 33 was Brendan Hoffman. Honorable mentions were Niels Lundqvist and Zach Jones. That's not a surprise to any of us, right? Hoffman?
No.
That's it.
I always find it interesting. The Athletic does this more often than any other site. Most sites give you top 100s You and I are big believers in top 100s. And Nils Lundqvist, as bad as his year was, is still firmly a top 100 prospect. Zach Jones, as uneven as his usage has probably been since he signed his contract, the fact that he's a top 100 prospect speaks highly to his development. Like, I don't know. Most prospect lists, specifically Scott Wheeler's, not a criticism of his, they are new draft heavy. And the New York Rangers didn't have a pick until the middle of the second round. A pick that a lot of people like. A pick that seemingly has gotten a lot of praise. But it's the Rangers weren't going to get a new player on this list. The fact that Othman is as high as he is, credit to him. And I have no idea what the Rangers should do, because they are literally in a rock and a hard place, right? He's not ready for the NHL. Not only is he not ready, if you bring him into the NHL, you have to give him top 9 minutes that don't exist currently for the New York Rangers. But he's well beyond having to go back to the OHL. It's like sending your top prospect down to A-ball when they've already mastered it. I don't know. I know why this rule exists, right? The Canadian junior leagues are super protective of the quality of their competition, and they don't want teams just signing players and immediately stashing them in the AHL. But this is just an outdated and dumb rule. Like, Othman should not be playing against children anymore. He should have to move on to the next step of his development. Right. Yep. And it's just silly that we're going to have to go through an entire year where he's either going to have to be asked to do too much or asked to do too little. And there's very clearly, like, what's his alternative? He goes pro in Europe? I don't even think that's allowed.
Yeah, and the Rangers, there's no way they can bring him onto the team. I've seen a lot of people say that.
But if they do, Ryan, they have to play him. And right. Then you're literally, guess what? You pissed off Vitaly Kravtsov for the fourth time.
I was about to say, the only way Othman makes this team is if Kravtsov gets traded for some piece before the season, and then Othman gets put in his place. That's it.
But even then, we've said the Rangers, they're so against the cap right now, especially when Kako signs, that some piece you're trading Kravtsov for is a draft pick. That's all you can afford.
Yeah, you'd get like a second rounder, maybe. For Vitaly Kravtsov. Maybe. Yeah.
And why would you? Why would you do that?
No.
I mean, the Cooley conversation I kind of understand, right? He's played in the AHL. He's a big boy. And he's a young player, but would you feel terrible if you were giving him fourth line minutes? Probably not, right? So like Cooley is an interesting candidate that I understand. Othman, you have to play. And you don't as the New York Rangers are currently constructed, you don't have the luxury of playing unproven young talent high in your lineup when you want to be a playoff team. Like, this would have been a great situation for the Rangers to be in 2 years ago, right? Going into the 2019-2020 season, Othman's too good for juniors, and you have spots open in your lineup, and you can challenge him. And if he's overmatched, oh well, this is all part of the development. At least you're not losing points in the standings because you're challenging a young player. Rangers can't afford to do it right now from a we need every point we can get standpoint. And not to mention the fact that they're already relying on rather unproven wingers on the right side, right? We need more from Kako. You need more from Lafreniere. You need anything from Kravtsov. These are guys you need a lot more from Hedl. The Rangers already have a lot riding on a lot of young players. They're not in a position to ask another young player who probably isn't ready for the NHL to be ready just because he's overqualified to be in the league that he's in. Just change the rules. Who gives? I understand that this is sacrilege to the people that live up north. But, Ryan, who gives two fucks about Canadian juniors? Who gives a shit? The Memorial Cup can lick my taint. The Memorial Cup can lick my taint, Ryan.
Wow.
I don't care. They're children playing for a trophy. I don't care if Hamilton wins next year or fucking Flint or wherever
else. Some people
in
Canada right now are just like at their dinner table and the dinner table just started shaking. Like, honey, what's happening?
Steve Dangle just had his heart rate go from like a low resting rate of 80 to 170.
I don't think Dangle cares that much. It's more like, you know, the good old natives. They're just like, what's going on?
Oh, well, Jeff Merrick is really pissed off at me right now just because I put this out into the world. I just don't care, Ryan. It's a developmental league. Why? I understand it has history and everything. You know what else is history? The International League in AAA. And I don't care how the Syracuse Mets do.
Nobody does.
I just don't.
With that being said, let's get to Connor Rogers, Wrestling Why in the Mets pod. We'll be right back with him. Transition. Hey, we're back with our guest of the day. Been meaning to have Connor out for a long time. He's the lead draft analyst for Bleacher Report. Also, it's the Mets pod for SNY. Connor Rogers, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, guys. I love what you guys do, so I'm excited to be on the show.
Thank you. I don't know why anyone loves what we do.
It's not BS either. Like, people always ask, like, doing podcasting for a living. They're like, what podcast do you listen to? And I'm like, honestly, none. I'm pretty sick of it when this is what I do. But I genuinely love your guys' show. It's freaking awesome. So this is cool.
Unbelievable. We've had a couple people on, like Ishan, who works for the Washington Post. He's like, bro, I listen every week. I was like, shut up.
I'm kind of ruining this week for me because tomorrow it's going to pop up on the feed. And I'm not going to listen to myself. So now I'm going to be 2 weeks without a pod, which kind of sucks for me.
Connor, we got good news for you. The first 30 minutes of this podcast, dynamic. You're going to love it.
All right, perfect.
A lot of Daniel Vogelbach talk because he's my favorite human being in the world, and we'll get to him. But I'm going to start you off with a lob here. Why don't you tell us about your Ranger fandom, how you became a Ranger fan? Because again, most of the people that follow you, NFL draft analyst for Bleacher Report, a Mets podcast, and Jets coverage for SNY. So you kind of have the Ranger stuff hidden. So I think you gotta enlighten the world about Connor Rogers, New York Ranger fan.
Right. At some point, you got to sit back and hold on to your fandom of something. And for me, it is absolutely the Rangers. And, you know, it's funny to me when you said that, because I think during the playoffs is the most I've tweeted about them, because usually tweeting about anything is just inviting yourself for disaster. And so many Lightning fans had the same response to me every time. They were like, oh, like, of course, you start watching during the playoffs, Leopard Boy, because I'm like in a leopard shirt in my Twitter picture. And I'm like, I'm at the Garden in like November. I don't know what you want from me. I just don't tweet about it, because at some point this is the one sport that I wouldn't say it to for the Mets, it's the same, but I don't do any hockey content, and I love it that way. Like, I'm truly an irrational fan. So for the Rangers, for me, it's the only sports team I think that I got into on my own. Like, I was at the Meadowlands and Shea Stadium basically the second I was out of a stroller. So that was very family ties. This is what we do. This is, you know, this is where you, who you root for and where you're going to be. And I love that. It's awesome. I don't take that for granted. But with hockey, like, growing up, my dad was definitely a Rangers fan, but not diehard like that. So for me, it was something that I got into probably more so when I was in high school, when a lot of my friends were watching the Rangers, and then college. And then when I moved down close to the city after college, I've been in Hoboken for 8 years. I find it the easiest team to be immersed in. I don't know if it's because I'm a 15-minute ride from the path right into the Garden. Obviously, being out in New York City before the games, it's an easy place to get to for me. But above all of that, it's the best sporting event to attend. And I just fell in love with the game, fell in love with this team for about the last 15 years. But I would say it's grown a lot since I've actually lived here and gotten to be so immersed with it. And obviously it helps that, you know, they kind of came out of the rebuild this year where it's like, okay, during the rebuild, you're watching it and you're like, okay, this is fun. I'm watching the young players. I don't really care as much about wins or losses. And then we flipped that switch over so quickly this year where you're like screaming at the TV again. It felt like it was, 6 years ago. So I love the Rangers because it's truly the one side left of me, I think, that I can be an irrational fanboy.
Yeah, and not only can you be a rational fanboy, but it's kind of like a hidden secret. The city is so Yankees Mets focused. Obviously, when it's football season, you know this best. It's Giants Jets. The Giants Jets are just a disaster.
And horrible.
They're awful. And the Rangers, they kind of sneak up. Like, the Knicks are a disaster. And it's like all of a sudden, like, hey, the Rangers are pretty good again. They have a star goalie. They have a star left winger. They have a Norris winning defenseman. And it's like, I guess if I want to like watch good New York sports, I mean, besides the Mets and the Yankees right now, of course, the answer was the Rangers, and that was it. And to kind of, that's why there's some momentum with the team right now, and they're sneaky fun. Like, a lot of great personalities, a lot of great development, and obviously the deep playoff runs are going to help. But the stories are over, Connor. There's nothing left to tell you. Like, we're waiting for Capogaco to sign.
Yeah.
It's going to be like $2 million a year-ish, and then we're waiting for the season. What are you expecting personally as an irrational fan heading into next year?
Well, I'll get this out of the way. Like, I when they got Trocheck, I was ecstatic because I kind of put in my brain, right? We went over the 2C scenarios a million times. And, you know, obviously you guys laid it out really well where, like, if Greg, like, if they got Stasny, it's like, okay, he'll be the 3C and you give Heedle a shot. But, you know, obviously there was that, Ryan, there was that, like, 24 hours of, like, holy crap, they're going to sign Malkin. Like, all these different scenarios where I kind of put a couple guys out of my brain immediately. Kadri, obvious, for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Even a guy like all the guys in Winnipeg, really, I kind of put a lot of that in my brain. But I included Trocheck in that. He was my favorite player of them all because of the way he plays. He's obnoxious. He's obviously played well against us. Obviously, he wins faceoffs, which everybody loves. But getting away from that, I think he's somebody that there's a little meat left on the bone when you put him on a second line with Panarin. I just never thought they'd be in the conversation. So when they got that done, I understand people's – see, this is where I separate myself from Jets or Mets Connor and Rangers Connor. Like, yeah, 7 years is a long time. I don't care about these things. I want the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup in the next 2 years. That's what I care about. When I turn on the Rangers or go to the Garden, what, 8 times a year, like, I want the Rangers to be really, really good. And when we cross that bridge where these 8,000 no move clauses and all this overbloated contracts, like, yeah, it's going to suck, but they're going to figure out a way to get through it. I just want to enjoy being a fan and not getting so obsessed with assets or lack of assets or bad assets, because I do that so much in football. I do it enough now, more recently in baseball, that with the Rangers, I just want this team to be really good. And I do recognize that I hate getting caught up in saying, like, oh, now they have this window because, like, Kreider's, Zibanejad, and Panarin all are a certain age. But, I mean, they have the best goalie in the universe, right? So, like, your window's always open when you have the best goalie on the planet. And we see how quickly those things can change over the years. But that's the truth right now. So the Trocheck move to me was awesome. Like you said, you just got to get Kako signed. We had, what, a fun 48 hours of Rangers fans trying to figure out how to get Tkachuk, which was hilarious. As much as he's one of my favorite players in the league, the way he plays, now he no longer will be because he's on Florida. Yes. Like, that's not the kind of moves left for this team. This is the team. Now we just have to figure out a way to get over the hump of the Eastern Conference Final and obviously win a Stanley Cup. But I feel pretty good about where they're at right now and how they can revisit that again at the deadline.
We're in the dance.
So, Connor, that makes me ask the next question. So, the real difference from last year to this year is you've gone from Ryan Strome to Vincent Trocheck. That's the one big change. But then you take into every other consideration where, on the plus side, you expect Heedle, Lafreniere, Kako all to take that logical next step forward, considering what they did in the playoffs. At the same time, irresponsible of us to assume Chris Kreider is going to score 50 goals again.
Sure.
Do you think the New York Rangers going into next season are better constructed for a long playoff run than the New York Rangers that we just saw lose game 6 to the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I think so. And maybe this is just me being like an irrational fan or having Rangers colored glasses on. But when I look at it, I think Lafreniere is just going to be a totally different player next year from start to finish. What we saw with him in the playoffs was a completely different attitude, a completely different player. Fearless. Now that they got that postseason experience and they got a lot of it, I think the Rangers have two things going into this year that we, no matter how much you love them as prospects or picks or whatever you want to be, you could not say it with a straight face for sure this time last year. They have a future stud defenseman in Keandre Miller playing now on the same team as Adam Fox. And I'm a Jacob Trouba stan. I understand why Rangers fans get on him, but I really like Trouba for what he is. I think that Keandre taking that next step and Lafreniere taking that next step is a totally different Rangers team. And that's me saying that I'm skeptical on Heedle taking that next step, just because, not for lack of talent. I just, you know, in football scouting, we have an old term that basically says, if you were hurt in college, you're going to be hurt in the NFL. And I think, unfortunately for Heedle as a young player, he's just always got something going on. And it's always held him back from ever getting momentum. And until that goes away, it's hard for me to put that out of my head. But they can get by. They don't need all of these guys to be studs, right? If Lafreniere is what we think he'll be, we know what Keandre is already. And maybe you do have Kako finally stay healthy and, you know, he's shown flashes. That's enough to me because they have so much star power everywhere else. And the most important thing is, once again, they have the best goalie on the planet that makes up for wherever their deficiencies lie. So I hate to be optimistic guy, and there's little things that annoy me, right? Like, what if I liked Tyler Mott back? Yeah, but you can't keep paying bottom six players over and over again. And they do have some really interesting guys that are going to be in camp, younger guys that could fill that void. There's little things, right? Like, we saw Reeves, I love Reeves so much, but Reeves just can't really skate. So are you really going to play him for that many games next year and going into the postseason? That's a little, very small tweak. Then you just need to find the scoring to fill the void of, obviously, Strom leaving, but you brought Trocheck in, the young guys, and then making up for the fact that Kreider's, yeah, he's not going to score that many goals. But let's not forget, like, Zibanejad had a slow start last year, and then he got scorching hot. I think he won't start like that again. I'm convinced Panarin was significantly injured during the playoffs, no matter what they say. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a blind optimist here, but I really do think it's enough that you get to the deadline. You know what your deficiencies are, which is the same thing I said about the Mets all year. Now they know where, you know, their problems lie, and they're going to address them. And no matter how little money you have, you could still solve them from there. The one thing I wish the Rangers did, and maybe this is a dumb take, but they got a million defensive prospects, and they're all just losing value over time, and only one guy is going to have a role, whoever wins that sixth defenseman role in camp with Schneider. I would have maybe tried to explore moving one of those guys for a draft asset, but I understand that's just not where they are as a franchise.
Couple things, because I have a lot to respond to you about. I think you made a great point about Filip Hedl, and I think you can make the same case about Kaapo Kakko, is that he's a little bit injury prone. I've never said it about Kaapo Kakko, but now that you've said it, it's kind of put it in my brain. Like, hey, he's like broken his wrist, kind of had shoulder problems, had a really weird first year. It's been a little injury prone. Also got COVID like 19 times. Great job. On top of that, you mentioned trading the prospects. Well, this year's draft was kind of doo-doo. Like, that's what everyone thought about the NHL. Like, hey, they took Shane Wright at 4. Like, that's very strange. He was a top 2 pick, easily. Top 1, probably. And if you're going to trade Nils Lundqvist, and I assure you Chris Drury went out there and called people to try and trade Nils Lundqvist. There was a big story last year in the middle of the year that Nils Lundqvist had not requested a trade, but asked to move. It was like a story for like 2 weeks and then went super quiet. But that's why I think Jones is going to win that spot. And if you're going to trade Nils Lundqvist, it's going to be at this deadline, maybe for a bigger piece. Maybe you're trading out more pieces like Hedl with Nils Lundqvist for a bigger piece to make a bigger push at the deadline this year. Or you're trading for draft picks next year in a draft that's absolutely loaded, that you're going to get first-round talent in the middle of, early second round next year. So that's kind of where you're going. Like, if I'm going to trade Nils Lundqvist, do I want to get this year's draft picks, or am I looking to get next year's? And every other GM knows that, but also the NHL, and you're never going to believe this, has a lot of stupid GMs. So maybe you can actually convince somebody to get some, like, a higher pick for Nils Lundqvist again next year, if that makes sense.
Dude, hockey offseason to me is wild. Like, it's just absolutely wild to me how the offer sheet thing, which I know you guys always talk about, it's truly hilarious how you have this option in the league and just nobody uses it to not create bad blood. But there's so many times it would be like a functional piece. Like, it's just so fascinating to me the deeper and deeper I get into it, because we just went through a rebuild with the Rangers, and that was the first time in my life that I was immersed in like what they were doing in the third round. So it's a great point about this draft. And, I just worry that we do get to the point where it's like, man, they waited so long and now they won't be able to get anything in return for guys that were once extremely, extremely touted, hyped, promising. But you're right that sometimes that doesn't matter at all. I mean, we just saw Georgiev go for
three picks. Three.
Insane.
That's crazy. We were slandering not only Gorton at the time, but Chris Drury for over years for not trading Georgiev for more. And I think, Greg, you and I could easily say that we were thinking they were going to get like a fourth rounder, and he got three total picks for it. Crazy shit.
Yeah,
and they paid him.
Right. The Georgiev thing is like, I can be impressed the Rangers did as well as they did when they did, but it also doesn't change the fact that while they were looking for a first, they could have gotten more for him. Just if you weren't looking for that first before you got to this point in the season. Connor, my question for you, because you bring up how wild the NHL offseason is, and I know that you mean wild as in how just non-traditional it is. In any other sport, this long after free agency opened, if one of the clear-cut top three free agents who had just won a Stanley Cup and played an important role on that championship team was still a free agent, would you go this long without a single rumor about that player?
No, it's bizarre, honestly. The insider game is definitely really different in hockey, and I can't really wrap my head around it. I don't know if it's because you have, what's fascinating with the NHL is you have a ton of different nationalities at play. And maybe that, and this is me, I have no idea the answer to this. So maybe there's a ton of different agents and the connections to information is just different. Or I don't understand. Like in the NFL, right? Like this is, the NFL is truly covering the NFL, covering the NFL draft is truly my day-to-day job. And I've obviously, you gather info or you try to gather info. Or I sit on about 99% of the things I hear, but everybody's got a reason. And that's why the info gets out from every single angle immediately at the NFL level. It's not just that the way the league is covered, how magnified it is and how insane it is. It's just everybody's got a reason. Everybody's getting out in front of things where the NHL, it's so bizarre to me how rarely that happens, where you'd expect the team to try to have their angle, the player to try to have their angle, and the agent involved with the player to have his angle, and then outside sources trying to either drive down that player's number or try to drive up the player's number for the team. Like, it's such a bizarre league in that it's so rare for teams to truly step on each other's toes, because I don't know if it's they're trying to keep the player market so tame or what it is, but no, it's, I mean, I could tell you from day to day, the NFL is not like that. Baseball, for the most part, is not like that. Hockey is very unique in that sense.
I don't know if you've seen this, but LeBron and Friedman literally copy-paste text from a group chat to break news.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like they,
and then you have Bobby Margarita comes out on free agency day and is like breaking news left and right. And the guy like retired for a year.
He's still retired.
He's still retired.
Yeah, he's still retired.
Let me do this for fun. Let me do this for fun. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I do this for fun. And as much as I hate to admit, like I think Friedman knows a lot more than he's willing to tell you.
They all do.
They're all willing. Not like we somehow, and I can't believe this, got into the insider game over the past 2 years. Like we've gotten tips, we've gotten tricks. I've kind of known some things that have happened before they've happened. But the fact that these guys that are there, it's their job to break stories. Like Frank Cervelli had one, I think he had the expansion draft, but he had like a list, so he was breaking all the expansion draft stuff beforehand. But outside of that, a lot of these guys haven't broken a story in like a very long time. And they all just talk to the agents, they sit in a group chat, and they go, okay, we're going to announce this in 5 minutes, post it. I'm like, all right, cool. You got permission to post at 11:40 a.m. And they all post it at the same time, the exact same stuff. It's like, whoa, I say this every podcast, but Woj knows what Ben Simmons ate for lunch next Tuesday. It's crazy.
Woj at 2:30 in the morning dropped Kevin Durant news. 2:30 in the morning. He didn't wait. He's like, no, I got the news. I'm running with it now. Unreal.
Dude, those guys, they don't sleep the week of free agency. They just nap. Like when they can, and it's barely napping. And it goes for the same with Schefter, Rappaport, all those guys. I mean, it's that kind of game, and it's that vital. And here we are how many weeks post free agency, and we have literally – not a breadcrumb on Kadri, who was, you know, hilariously tied to everybody the week before.
I made the joke the other day, and it was true, that there had been more Michael Conforto rumors in the last 72 hours than Nazem Kadri rumors.
Yeah.
Conforto is not playing.
There are, because now it's like, well, he might play in September. So now some teams are poking around on Conforto. But it's ridiculous that there are more viable what team will sign Conforto than people just speculating that, boy, the Islanders have done nothing. Maybe they'll sign Kadri. Like, at some point, just, like, either buy into it or just do something. I'm begging you.
I mean, even Tkachuk, wasn't it that we were just sitting there and it was, like, out of nowhere, it was like, oh, Florida traded for him. And it's like, okay.
It took 2 days for people to realize it was a sign-and-trade.
Yes. Yes, that and the fact that like you have these top flight players in the deal that we haven't heard a peep around, and I get Tkachuk moves the needle totally differently, but I don't know, you just don't even hear the slightest bit of things until it's almost on the transaction wire by the time it's out.
It's disgusting. Let's talk about the Mets for a few minutes. Max Scherzer went to the Bronx Zoo rather. This has been obviously this season has been, I guess, uplifting. I'm not a Mets guy. Greg very much is a Mets guy.
Oh, I know.
Yes. And this whole season, you've been covering it for SNY on the Mets pod. I'm assuming it's just been refreshing. It's been a different animal. It's been a different breed of Mets history. Tell me what it's been like covering the team comparatively to past years.
Yeah, it has. And you know, it's funny for me. I wouldn't start a Mets pod until the rumor started that Steve Cohen was going to buy the team, because I wouldn't do it during the Wilpon era. Like I said, like my day-to-day job is football. So the Mets project was for fun originally during a dead time of year. I'm pretty light during the summers until preseason football really gets going. So, you know, my buddy Joe DeMeo, who's my co-host, I hit him up because he covers the Mets minors on the side as a side gig. And I was like, you want to just do this for fun? We'll do it once a week. It seems like the franchise can go in the right direction if Cohen really does buy the team. And, you know, we were covering it the whole wave of he's going to get the team. He's not going to get the team. And then, it you know, Passion Project Classic turns into SMY was, you know, obviously signed on for us to be their podcast. So now it is more serious and it is a lot of fun. And I do find myself, you know, on Sundays and Mondays, because we record Tuesday mornings, like, you better freaking win this game because I don't want to be miserable recording this podcast right now. And I don't want the fans being miserable. So we've been really lucky that our first year with SMY, things have been really, really positive for the most part. And listen, Mets fans, they're the best, but you know, they're not wrong usually with this stuff, but they can get PTSD, really bad flashbacks.
Not sure what I know what you're talking about. What do you mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, you could have one game where they get shut out and everybody's like, here we go again. The Braves are coming. Like, here we go again. And it's like, okay, I get it. But things are a little different now with this owner, with this front office, with this roster in general. And I, you know, I've been really lucky that our first year with SMY, it's been all positive, all good feelings around the team, mostly good feelings around the fan base. I think everybody will be on pins and needles until, and hopefully that they clinch the division, understandably. But once again, it's nice when you're not covering a meltdown, right?
I was going to ask you, Connor, because I see this in our Discord and on my timeline from our mutual Met fan friends, that some people are acting like the roof's caving in, despite the Mets having – it's not the Mets' fault that they have the second-best record in the league and the Braves have the third-best record in the league. And it's not the Mets' fault that the Braves have been playing 750 win percentage baseball over the last 2 months, while the Mets have simply been playing 550 baseball over the last 2 months. Like, at some point, you just shrug your shoulders and say, if they win the division, they win the division, but they've essentially clinched a playoff spot. And Met fans are just like, no, this is fucking it. Everything's terrible. The sky's falling. Nobody's healthy. We're not hitting. And I'm just like, guys, they're 22 games over 500. They have a 630 win percentage. What more do you need? What are we doing?
Dude, it's crazy. And I have a pretty good pulse of, you know, the four teams that I grew up rooting for, their fan bases, which is the Jets, Mets, Rangers, and Knicks. And nothing comes even close to the Mets fan. Not even remotely close. And I think a lot of that does stem a little bit from the fact that the Jets, there's just been a feeling of nothing for a long time, unfortunately. And the Knicks, a little bit of the same. But with the Mets, it is, even in the worst years, it is so intense. It is so crazy. And I think people just, with baseball specifically, really struggle to step back and look at the big picture of a season that is so, so long, and that people get caught up in sample sizes a lot, especially sample sizes that are not, you know, that are related to injury or aren't related to injury. My thing with the Mets is postseason baseball, like playoff hockey, is a lot different. The Mets have constructed this team where they want to go into the postseason with Jacob DeGrom starting the first game, fingers crossed, Max Scherzer starting the second game. You're probably looking at Chris Bassitt or Taijuan Walker, and whoever you don't have is an incredible option for a game four or bullpen. And that's how they want to build the team, and that they knew they'd be a little bit deficient in the power area, something that is often a cost-effective option at the trade deadline. And I think a lot of people struggle to get to the trade deadline nowadays because it's such a long wait, especially it being August 2nd this year. And that when you just look at it, people really live so day-to-day by baseball when you should always be trying to live big picture. It sucks when they lose. I get it. Nobody's more angry than me usually when they lose just in stupid ways.
No, Greg's right there. Greg's right
there. Yeah, exactly. We're all the same, us Mets fans. We're all exactly the same. But when you're right, Greg, the fact that, yeah, we'd love to win the division. It'd be fun. It'd be nice. But if they get into the playoffs with a healthy DeGrom, a healthy Scherzer, and they get another bat at the deadline, there's just no reason this team can't win a World Series. And people think I'm insane saying that, but that's when you go back and look at how World Series are won It's based on who your number one, number two, and sometimes number three starters are, and then everything else falls under in place.
Yeah, like when your ace is pitching in the sixth, you know, about to go to the sixth inning, and Mookie Betts is up, like maybe you don't pull him, Rays. Maybe you don't pull him, Rays.
Oh, insane.
Sorry, I still get upset about
that. Yeah, but the thing you always forget, Ryan, is you scored one fucking run that game. It's still not the pitcher's fault.
Did not
like,
forget.
Score more. It was a 1-0 game when you took him out. It wasn't going to end 1-0.
Disgusting.
I do find myself yelling at umps more than ever this year, and I can't figure out if they've gotten worse or if technology has gotten so much better.
It's technology.
Right? It has to be.
I don't know. Do you follow like umpire scorecard?
Yeah, I'm way too online when it comes to yelling at umps.
I think about the Saturday game specifically when the Mets essentially lost because Bassett Jim Wolf missed the called third strike on Manny Machado.
Yeah, he struck out Machado. Yeah.
Yeah. And the next pitch was a 2-run homer, even though the pitch was before was strike three. And that's the game. Like, I get it. The Mets scored one run, as I just said to Ryan. Like, anything could happen. But at the same time, it's just like, that's an immediate cost right there for the Mets, where the pitch before was strike three, it was missed, and the next pitch was a hanging breaking ball. And, you know, if things were different, they'd be different. I understand that. Now, Connor, here's the thing that we really need to get into, because I haven't done enough justice talking about this man since this podcast started. And I know the New York Mets need to make more moves. But Daniel Vogelbach, I don't think there – I think there's a portion of the Mets fan base that was down on his acquisition because they're like, oh, why are we just getting this guy? He's a one-trick pony. This is a cost-cutting Met move that Steve Cohen is supposed to be going out to get these big, pricey guys. And I'm like, he does one thing the Mets can't do, which is a lefty that hits righties. And he's a big, powerful guy. And not to mention that, look at him. He's beautiful. He's wonderful. If he scores from first at any point in the next 2 months, I'm going to be unclothed. It's going to be amazing.
Dude, I'm in love with him. I was saying, I texted my buddy today. I was like, whenever, if they go up 12-2 in a game the rest of the season, I need him in right field. Like, I just need him out in the outfield, shagging fly balls, running full speed. People aren't ready for this yet, but he's going to run this city. Give it a month, and this will be Danny Vogelbach City. When they made this move, people were so mad about Colin Holderman, which was just...
Everyone's like, oh, why are you going to trade a reliable reliever? 17 innings this man has thrown, and he's 27.
17 innings. Yeah.
Like, my goodness, what are we... I get it, the Mets bullpen. We all have PTSD from every bad Met bullpen that's ever existed. And I understand that trusting Adam Ottavino to be the bridge to Edwin Diaz is too far in my head. I agree. Colin Holderman was not fixing that. This guy's
not.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
He's not fixing that. And they're going to go out and get multiple relievers at the deadline. Like, they're going to do it. There's a 0% chance they don't acquire not one reliever. I think they get two. And when you go back to, you know, the Mets, their idea is to preferably platoon the DH spot, because Buck wants to play everybody and they want to play splits. When you look at Dom Smith, who was in this role before Vogelbach, I mean, a 560 OPS against righties, and no home. He hasn't hit a home run in over a year. And then you look at Vogelbach, and he's a guy that's hitting almost at a 900 OPS against righties with 12 home runs. All 12 of his home runs are against the righties. That the Mets, like every team in baseball, obviously playing the numbers, playing analytics, but specifically at DH, they don't need a guy that's going to play every day. They're going to play a left-handed specialist and a right-handed specialist. And now they got their guy that mashes against righties, but also has an incredible aesthetic doing it, weighing 270 pounds. He can go from being the Mets DH, and then whenever the Mets season ends, he can go play defensive line for the Jets, or he could be a crease-clearing defenseman for the Rangers. And this will be Danny Vogelbach's town of New York City.
I guess that brings us right to the Jets, right, Greg?
Well, before that, I do want to know who you think the Mets get at the deadline, because I will say that I saw the Vogelbach thing coming, but I honestly, I'm pretty lost what else they might do.
I hate how much I shouldn't say hate. I'm underwhelmed by how much legit stuff, not just on Twitter, but the few people that I do talk to that are a little bit plugged in with the deadline with the Mets, how much is around Mancini right now? Because that just doesn't move the needle for me a lot.
I like Mancini.
I really like him. I want to love whatever they do, and I just like him, but I just don't think it's going to be Josh Bell. And that's the move I would really, really love, because he's the same guy from both sides of the plate. The numbers are almost identical as a switch hitter.
I'll be honest with you, I am also not a Josh Bell guy. I don't like him.
I don't think it's going to happen anyway. I don't think they're going to get that one done. I think the Nationals would charge a tax. I would love Wilson Contreras here. I'd be really surprised, especially trading Pete Crow Armstrong to the Cubs last year. They don't want to dump another top prospect to them for a rental, which is purely what he is, with Alvarez on the way next year. And then
Alvarez now, Connor, I'm just saying.
I was holding off for so long, and I'm getting to the point where I'm like, all right, maybe what do you have to lose? Right?
It can't be worse. It cannot
what do you have
be
to
worse.
Lose? It depends on the kid, right? Like, some guys you do need to really handle very carefully, and because they are on a developmental curve that it can ruin them. He's not that kind of kid. He's a 20-year-old that if he came up and he stunk, he would be completely fine from a mindset perspective in spring training next year. Like, that's why I feel a little differently about this one.
One of my favorite quotes was, he was talking about, he's like, Soto was up at 19. I'm 20. I'm still down here. What's up with that? It's like, okay, yeah. He's got that dog in him.
he does. Yeah, he does. I mean, I know DeGrom already has spoken highly of him when he got to throw to him. I think they will get two relievers. Relievers are impossible to predict who they get because there's 80 million names in the market, because that's the thing that gets sold off the most.
They might get something from the Rays as well. I mean, the Rays, I know they're still in it. They're going to push for it, but they just had two season-ending surgeries today, and Wander Franco is out for another, like, 8 weeks. I do wonder.
Yeah, so the Shane McClanahan, New York Met.
Yeah,
we all understand.
Get out of here.
I will say the one reliever, Connor, David Robertson bores me so much that I just don't want him on the Mets. Like, I can't handle it. But at the same time, I can't sit here. I know a couple relievers are having good years in Oakland that I'd like, but I don't think a Met fan's going to get excited for Domingo Acevedo as much as I would.
No, and they don't see them play, right? It's the Oakland situation. Like, how many Met fans had ever watched Mark Canna or Chris Bassett play before this year, right? Like, it goes back to that.
We play Dynasty Baseball, and that's the only reason we knew who they were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm in a keeper league for fantasy, and it's the only reason I know, you know, a lot of non-Mets that are just random players because of fantasy baseball. I mean, the biggest, like, wild card here for me, guys, is the Orioles keep winning, and they would have been a great selling team. Jorge Lopez has been an excellent reliever for them this year. Obviously, Mancini's probably going to go anyway because he's going to walk. He's a rental. The Giants are another team. Like, there's so many teams with the expanded playoffs that should be in a normal year selling, and now they're selling that glimmer of hope to their fan base, which I respect. I respect it, but it's not fun when you're trying to be a powerhouse like the Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, Braves, all those teams.
Well, I think the real problem this year in baseball is that the bad teams are really bad and they don't have pieces to trade. Like, are you going to convince the Reds to trade Diaz's brother? Like, that's essentially all you can do. He's the only guy doing anything. And I, as much as I enjoyed Brandon Drury last year, got to tell you, don't need it back in my life. I'm good. I get he's having a good year. I just want something different.
I get it. I'm pretty sure you said this. That was exactly my thought, Ryan Strome. Like, I don't care how much good he's done. Yeah. I need something new.
You need something new. Yeah. Speaking of something new, how about something old? Zach Wilson?
Nice job. Good transition.
Hey, I'm good. Dynamite. I'm good. No, but seriously, is he going to be good? Because he's like my starting quarterback on one of my teams.
I mean, I really am a Zach Wilson believer. I had him as my second quarterback in that draft. I thought he was – a lot of people did not think he was worthy of the second overall pick. I did. And I think it was a tale of two seasons. I think it was horrendous the first half of last year, and I think he really settled in the second half of the season against some really good teams at times. So, listen, the Jets roster was not good last year, and it's a lot different this year where he's throwing – to a second-year Elijah Moore, a first-year Garrett Wilson. They got three tight ends that could play. They got an all-pro guard in Lakin Tomlinson. They got a good young play caller in Mike LaFleur. I think Wilson's going to figure it out. I really do. People that want that Mahomesian kind of jump or that Joe Burrow, Herbert kind of jump are going to be disappointed, but I think he'll take a step forward. And if you do that as a 22-year-old quarterback in the NFL, you are on a very, very special path. So I think he's going to be fine.
I don't have any other questions about the NFL because I just think the Jets and Giants are just a disaster.
Well, I would just ask which New York team finishes with more wins.
Oh, man. Maybe I'm biased. I think it's the Jets. I really do. I think the Giants are in this. the Giants know what they are, right? You hire Joe Shane as a GM. You got a first-year coach in Brian Daboll. They're rolling it out with Daniel Jones, but they signed Tyrod Taylor in case things fall apart there. The Giants know they're a team in transition, while the Jets, there's a little bit more pressure not to make the playoffs but to win football games. And I think that's on Joe Douglas. I think Robert Saleh feels that. I think the pressure just changes things a little bit where – I mean, guys, we could be talking about the Jets win 6 or 7 games and the Giants win 5. That's kind of, but that's how I'm talking about.
I was going to say 6.5 as the Jets line, and if you'd go over or under.
Yeah, it opened at 5.5. I don't know if it moved. I think they win 7 games this year. I really do, which is with a 22-year-old quarterback and a second-year coach. I know that might not excite a lot of people, but in the NFL, that, you know, that does mean something. You just have to stay on the right trajectory. You can never dip back down. And the next year, you got to make the playoffs. And then the year after that, you need to be a legitimate contender in the AFC, which good luck with that. It's
good
not
luck,
easy.
Dude. Oh, my God. Yeah. Mahomes and Josh Allen for the next, like, 10 years.
Burrow?
The entire AFC West. What the fuck is that division? Like,
insane.
I'm not a big Raiders guy, but even I have to say, like, in any other division, the Raiders are a 10-win team.
It's bananas. Yeah, it's bananas. And then you do have to deal with that, maybe not this year, but in the future, Deshaun Watson is going to be a factor. It's just...
Oh, yeah, totally forgot about it.
Right? Everybody forgets. I mean, understandably, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. The shifting of power, or the contrast in power between the AFC and NFC at the most important position in sports.
I just don't... The NFC, just outside of Rodgers and Brady, like, what's going on there? I'm not much, to be honest.
Trey Lance. That's what.
Sure. Congratulations. They took the ketchup bottles down. It's all over Pittsburgh. All right. Connor, I think that's it, man. Thanks so much for joining us. Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, I mean, listen, you guys did enough. The Mets pod for the Mets stuff. I'm at Connor J. Rogers on Twitter. I really appreciate you guys having me on. This is a lot of fun. You guys do, honestly, such a good job. I'm not going to listen to myself when this pod drops, but I will listen to the intro, which is always a good balance this time of year of nonsense and hockey information.
If you ever need a Mets expert on your show, I'm your guy. I got your back.
That's what I hear. I've heard rumors of that.
Final one for me, Connor, and then I'll let you go, and you can make this one nice and quick. Who are you putting – you're the draft guy with the NFL for Billy Chew Report, so who is your money on – for offensive rookie of the year?
Man, I really like the – there's two ways to play it, right? There's who you think's going to win and then who you like the value of. I liked when Brees Hall opened at plus 900 because the Jets are just going to run the ball 8 million times this year, and they have a pretty expensive offensive line that they believe in, and Brees Hall is just he's the dude with the wide receivers. It's so hard to predict their targets. Jameson Williams is coming off an injury. The Falcons stink. Otherwise, I'd really, really like Drake London. There's no quarterback. So I chase the value. And the value for me was with Brees Hall because the team's going to run a lot. He's super talented. And if you put – I mean, come on, guys. You put $10 on plus 900, you're still sitting pretty.
I
would have gone Olave, but that's just because I think the Saints are going to throw the ball a bunch.
If Jameis stays healthy and Michael Thomas can borderline stay reasonable or out of the way, that's a really, really nice one because he will fit in with that offense really nicely. And Jameis was on a great, great path last year before he got hurt for the year.
Jameis Winston, one of one. Connor Rogers, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we're done with the show. You can follow me on Twitter at O'Reilly. You can follow Greg at Blue Shirts Break. We'll be back next week. Love you guys. Bye. All right, at the end of the podcast every single week, you know what I do. I thank the top supporters of the NHL Insiders Club, the most exclusive club of the Blue Shirts Breakaway Discord, and other things, of course. And we want to thank them personally for making this show happen every single week for the last 70,000 years. So, without further ado, Adam Cassidy, Adam Cohen, Adam Cotrullo, Adam Keach, Alex Gardner, Anthony Tarragona, Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Bill Rattel, Brendan Lackos, Brett McGinnis. Hey, Brett, congrats on moving during the hottest day of the year. Brian Doyle. Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallett, Bradley Booster Bleeder, Chris Vidalli, Chris Haru, CJ Stellwagen, Conrad P. Demich, Daniel Dezen, David Aronin, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, Darian, Eric Stagg, Garrett Reynes, Give Gardner a Cup, Garrett McFly, Harrison Asko, Hip Hip 89, Hollow Sauce, Ian Rodriguez, Ian Usher, Jake B., James Masker, JB Filippone, Jerry Muckers, JD, Jimmy Mack, JJ Frankie JJ, John Hardesty, John Shea, Johnny Thundergog, Jordan, Josh Kistenbob, Justin Friedman, Christopher Florida, Christoph Berg, Leishik, Gronowski. Leshik Gronowski. Leshik? I think. Oh, God. I practiced so many times before this. I hope that's right. Luigi Giordano, Matthew Goodwin, Matthew Kine, Meatball the Cat, Mike Bucklaw, Neil Grover, Nicholas Di Nicola, Pascal Perrier, Pavel Kovarov, Pro World the Tank Gamer. You know, I had a roommate, and the only game he would play was World of Tanks. And we used to, like, go into his room and say World of Tanks in, like, 16 different languages. I know in Spanish, it's El Mundo de Tancos. That's as much as I remember of that roommate, to be honest with you. Randy Tester, Sean Taggart, Stephen Manella, Stig Bullbox, Weingart, Tom Welsh, Thomas Siglari, Tomers Jr., Tommy O'Neill, Tori from Manhattan, Upstate, Vin, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and Winston, the Golden Retriever. Bark, bark. Another week, another episode. I'm going to pitch this to Greg, but I'm going on vacation. I know, unbelievable. I'm not pitching me going on vacation to Greg, but I will be leaving the States, going to the good old city of Montreal, where they passed on Shane Wright for a week or two. And we're going to have to pre-record an episode, so you know what that means. Capo Caco is going to sign the day I leave for the BSBOT and the regular show. And also, they'll probably sign Tyler Mott, or they'll do some massive trade, or there'll be an offer sheet. So that's August 5th. I leave August 5th. That's my birthday. That's the day Capo Caco is going to get traded. It's fucking awesome. I cannot wait. But I would like to hear from you, if you're still listening for some reason, what should we do as a pre-recorded episode? I've never seen the movie Miracle. I thought about us doing that. What else could we do? Should we do a tier list of players? Weird situations? You want conspiracy theories? What do you want? What do you want? So DM me on Discord, DM me on Twitter, whichever it is. Ask, just be like, Ryan, here's a stupid idea. And I'll be like, hey, that is stupid, but we might do it. Or I'm like, thanks for asking. Appreciate you telling me this because I want to know what you want to hear for a... Again, we only pre-record like one or two episodes a year because Greg and I hardly take vacations because we're psychos and we do this show every week. No matter where we are, I've done it on vacation in Switzerland on a mountain. I've done it in a lot of weird places. God, this stupid show. All right. We love you guys. We'll be back next week. Send the ideas my way. Twitter DMs, Twitter mentions, Discord, whatever. See you guys soon. Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.